The Lord called me to be a missionary to Japan when I was a youth, when I was 17 years old, the age probably of some of those who were up here today. Yeah, there we go, 17. I was living in Japan at the time because my father was in the military. And actually, our family had no desire to go to Japan because we just thought, you know, everyone's wearing kimono and eating with chopsticks and all they eat is rice and fish, which really is true. But we had no desire to go. We were living in New Mexico at the time at White Sands Missile Range. We just thought that was great. But, you know, when Uncle Sam says you're going to go to the other side of the world, you have to obey the orders. But my father decided he would fight it all the way to the Pentagon. And every level that he fought his orders, he was denied. So he kept trying again to get out of those orders. And he denied. So he took it all the way to the Pentagon. And the final reason he told them he could not go to Japan involved me. Because since the age of 11, I had been suffering from rheumatoid arthritis. And when cold weather would come, I would have to walk on crutches. And so he felt like surely they would understand the fact that the Carl family just needs to stay in America. But Uncle Sam came back and said, "Sergeant Carl, there are doctors in Japan. You're still going." So we went and found out that it really was not Uncle Sam that sent us there. He just paved the way. It was God that sent us to the nation of Japan. And there, for the very first time in my life, I met missionaries. They were Assemblies of God missionaries, George and Evelyn Sturgeon. And I was actually involved in a singing group where we go from military chapel to all around, and we would sing. And it was kind of like we were entertaining, you know. We would sing, and the people would clap, and it was just a very nice Christian singing group. But when we were invited to come to the missionaries' ministry area, it was a home that they had for the servicemen. We found that we all got up to sing, but while we were singing, all the people were just lifting their hands, worshiping to God, and just singing like we had never heard people sing before, real worship. And I thought, this is really interesting, because I was used to being, you know, the entertainment up front, but this time, they weren't even looking at us. They were worshiping God, whose presence was heavier in that room than I had ever felt. 17 years old, and so I went to the missionaries afterwards and I said, "What is this?" And they took me right to the book of Acts, and they took me to Acts chapter 2, and they taught me about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I said, "This sounds good. I've never seen this before, but I'm going to pray." And within about a month's time, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, which, you know, that's how you know outwardly you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. But many other things happen to you when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. One of them is you begin to see the lost with different eyes. And I would look at the Japanese people. I would ride the trains that are so packed and crowded, and I would see the darkness on their face. You know, you can look at a person's face and know what's in their heart. And I would realize that their lives are empty. But I said, at 17 years old, I have the answer for all of Japan. The answer is Jesus. And that answer has not changed. Even though I've gotten older, I still had the answer all the way back then. So young people, sometimes you're right. The answer is Jesus. And so I began feeling that God was calling me to give my life and be a missionary to Japan. But yet I thought, it's going to be impossible, because no mission board is going to approve for me to be a missionary because I have arthritis. And so I just thought, I'll just have to give up that. Surely that's not God's will. But I couldn't get away from it. And that's all I could think about all day long, is God wants me to be a missionary to Japan. And one night at a prayer meeting, I asked the people to lay hands on me and to pray for me. I just, like this, I just lifted up both hands to the Lord. And I said, okay, one hand will symbolize this arthritis that doctors say will just continue to get worse. And the other hand will symbolize this call to Japan that I can't get away from. I said, God, you choose tonight and take away one. And that night, he instantly and miraculously healed me of rheumatoid arthritis and confirmed the call to be a missionary to Japan. Hallelujah. To God be all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. And that's when after that, right after high school, the Lord took me to Bethany Bible College in Santa Cruz, California, and introduced me to William Caldwell Bennett. Hallelujah. And my life has never been the same. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah. After college, I went right back to Japan as what we call a missionary associate and worked as a children's pastor in a church for American military. I went for a one-year commitment. You know, when you're, by that time, I was 22 years old, and a year is a long commitment when you're 22. But my mother said to me when I left to get on the plane, she said, "You'll be gone more than a year." Well, after a year, I extended to two. And after 2 years, I extended to three. And then they said to me, "Looks like you're going to make this a career. You better go back to the States and get yourself credentialed and get ready to come back as a career missionary." So that's when I went to Rochester. My parents were from that area at the time, and worked as a children's pastor at Bethel in Rochester there. And within a couple years after that, was able to go back to Japan as a career missionary. And I have been there now for 30 years. To God be the glory. To God be all of the glory. Sometimes I can't even believe it, but yet I know that God loves the people of Japan. Just this past last weekend was an amazing weekend in Japan. I wish I could have been there, but Franklin Graham had what they call the Celebration of Love, a whole crusade in one of the largest venues in the city of Tokyo on the imperial grounds. And the reports I'm reading said there were Japanese people just rushing to get to the altar to say, "Yes, I will believe in Jesus as my Savior." You know, Japan is a country of 126 million people with less than 1% Christian. Less than 1%. And so anywhere you go, almost everyone is not a Christian. And on top of that, they have no Christian background, no foundation. They don't know anything. They have no idea the true meaning of Christmas and all of the other things that we just know because we have been taught, but they have not been taught. But don't you think that every human has the right to have a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And every human has the right to own a Bible? How many of you have a Bible? Yes, most of you have many of them, right? Japanese people don't even know what a Bible is, many of them. Have never had a Bible, have never held a Bible, because Bibles are for Christians and they're not Christians. They are Buddhists, they are Shintoists, and many of those teachings are very good teachings. They're just missing something. But you know, the original writer of the teachings of Buddhism, apparently before he died, made this statement: "I'm still searching for the truth." 500 years later, Jesus Christ came to this earth and he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So I look at Japanese people and just realize that they're still searching for the truth. And we know that when they receive Jesus as their Savior, the truth of Jesus will set them free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. So I am just thankful to God for every person whose life I have been able to touch in the nation of Japan. Most of my ministry, I've been in church planting, going to difficult rural areas and starting churches from zero. But the last 5 years, I have been in the city of Tokyo, and I have been an associate pastor and sometimes the interim pastor at a church for international people. And we have about half Japanese, half internationals. We probably, our sanctuary probably seats about as many as you are here today. And we have another floor. We have two floors. It's an office building that we rent in the city of Tokyo. The rent on a monthly basis, we pay $15,000 to rent in the city of Tokyo. So you can see that it's a very, very large budget. It's one of the most expensive cities in the whole world. The city of Tokyo itself, where I live now, is the largest city in the history of the world. 38 million people are my immediate neighbors. And I love the city of Tokyo and am praying that God will do new and wonderful things there. Most of the churches, the average church in Japan is about 25 people. And so you get to a church where you have 100 people, that's like a mega church in Japan. That's a big, big church. Yes, so it's the scale is quite different. And as I said, almost all of the Christians I know, they don't have any Christian friends. They don't have any Christians in their family. So when they come to church, that is their Christian family. They don't know anyone else. And probably they don't have any people who are praying for them. They don't have Christian relatives who are praying for them. And I have discovered that oftentimes when we pray for a Japanese person, that is the first time that their name has ever been mentioned before the throne room of God. One thing that I have been challenged by is to stay connected with all of you, because you are the ones I need to pray for the people in Japan. So I want to show you now, we'll go ahead and go to the next slide, how you can stay connected with me. And how many of you have a smartphone and can text? You probably have your phone off, but you can even do this now. Just text the word Shelley to 95577, and that will get us connected, and you will receive regular, those are the most regular updates that I send, just a short text to tell you where I'm going, what kind of prayer requests I have this week, and you will be up to date on all of the things that are happening. And later I'm going to tell you of very exciting things that are happening as we approach the year 2020. We've got some awesome things happening in Japan. And I want you to know so that you can pray very specifically for me even when I'm in Japan, okay? So do what you can to connect with me. You can text the word Japan to the same number, and that will give you all the links to how to give on a regular basis. I know you're doing that as a church, and so I thank you so much for that. And I really want everyone to have one of my prayer cards. David, maybe you can help me pass out, make sure that everyone gets one of my cards. And on the other side of the card, you'll see all the information, how to connect with me, Facebook, and praise the Lord, I have someone tomorrow connecting with me to upgrade my website, which basically is just, you got the domain name and then it says under construction. So there's nothing there now, but Lord willing, it's going to be coming because someone has paid a web designer to do it for me. So that's an amazing thing that happened last week. So you can connect with me by email, of course, and real mail. They call that snail mail nowadays, I guess. And Facebook, yes, Facebook. You know, Giselle, we're on Facebook all the time, yes. As a matter of fact, your pictures of your church will be on Facebook tonight when I get home. I love to share with the people in Japan so they can see churches like yours in America, because it's amazing to them to know it's because of you that I'm there. There's a woman that I have been ministering to. I'm going to share her story later, but one of the things that she says always is, I would never have known God if it weren't for Shelley. And when she makes that statement, I realize that, well, she would never have met Shelley if it weren't for churches like this in Cobleskill, because you have made it possible for me to stay there all of these years in the city of Tokyo now, the world's largest city. Hallelujah. So decide your way that you're going to connect with me, but please stay connected, because later as I share what we're planning, it may be something that you will be involved in, whether it's over in Japan or on this side. In some way, I hope that we can stay connected and you will know my prayer requests. And also, when people write to me, I pray for you. You will notice oftentimes on Fridays, I offer for people who has a prayer request, I'm going to pray for you. But many, many people are sending me prayer requests, and I'm so thankful that I can have the privilege to go with confidence before the throne of grace and pray for you. Because our prayer is very powerful. It moves the hand of God. And I truly, truly believe in prayer. So if you have something to be prayed for, do not ever hesitate to let me know. And it will just be between me and the Lord. And I will pray and go before the throne room of grace and mention your name. And also ask you to take the name of a Japanese person before the throne room of God and pray for them. Well, I would like just to look in our Bibles today at the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to share a few this scripture and then share some things that God has been doing in Japan. And then we'll conclude with sharing the 2020 vision. Isaiah, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 10. And we also have that, we can go ahead and go to the next slide even. Okay. We have it up here on the screen, so if you can read it, then why don't we go ahead and just read this scripture together out loud. And if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. Can we just say together the words that are underlined there? Spend yourself. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Spend yourselves. Before we just talk a little bit more about this scripture, let's pray for the Lord to come and anoint me as I speak. And you pray for me, and I am going to pray in Japanese. Hallelujah. Tenno to sama, ima koso kono karubri assembly sobu goddo, kono kobu skill no to. で主よあなたの栄光がありますように主よこの会場の中に聖霊様の臨在が満たして一人一人はこのメッセージを受け入れることができますように働いてください。特に若い者主のメッセージがいただくことができますように主よ助けてください。しもべの上に主の栄光のために油の注ぎがありますようにどうぞ主よ満たしてください。このお祈り、主イエス・キリストの名前によってお祈りいたします。アーメン。ハレルヤ。ハレルヤ。Spend yourself. This scripture says, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry, and you stop and think, actually, in a very modern and technologically advanced city like Tokyo, usually feeding the hungry is not part of a missionary's ministry. However, we do understand the fact that we as human beings are much more than a physical body. We also have a spiritual being. So when we look at Japan in that sense, it's a poverty-stricken nation with less than 1% that believe in Jesus. I oftentimes see Japanese people going in the morning to the shrines and to the temples. They will stand in front of it and they'll clap their hands and bow and throw in a few coins as if to think that will get them a blessing or help them. Imagine praying to gods that have ears that cannot hear and eyes that cannot see. And when we introduce them to the God who actually says to us, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things. It's an amazing thing for Japanese to hear that scripture because I tell them, you know, most things you can find and search for on Google. But God says, I'm going to tell you things that you cannot even find on any search engine. Unsearchable things. And the wisdom that he gives us to reach the lost is absolutely amazing. Feeding the hungry, spiritually speaking, is basically what my ministry is all about. And it takes years and years and years because to begin with, they don't even know they are poverty-stricken in a spiritual sense. They don't know it. So we have to find ways to give them the gospel without them feeling like we are coming in trying to change them. I've often had people ask me the question, well, are you going to Japan to convert them from their religions? I said, no, I absolutely am not trying to change any religion. I'm just trying to give them Jesus. When you meet Jesus, what else do you need? I'm not there to argue their religions. I actually haven't known all that much about their religions. But what I do know is that for the most part for Japanese people, it's tradition. It's just tradition. And yet it leaves the heart empty. So when we focus on simply giving them Jesus, they begin to realize something is missing in their lives. Well, that was the situation with Mikiko, a woman who I began ministering to when she was in her late 30s. And she lived down on the southern island of Kyushu, where I was just filling in for another missionary for 1 year in a new church. And she was not a Christian at all and had no desire to become a Christian or to hear about God. But she was interested in English. So that is like kind of the bait that we use because, okay, church is for Christians. You're not a Christian, but you want to learn English? I am a native speaker, and I will teach you English. And so, of course, we would have our choice. Do you want to teach them see, spot, run? Or do you want to teach them repeat after me? There is a God who has a wonderful plan for my life. And we go from there. So Mikiko began to learn English. She began to realize that she was hungry for the gospel. She began to come to the Bible study that we had. But then, before you knew it, my year there was up. And it was time for me to move to Tokyo. And many of the church people were kind of saying to Mikiko, you know, now is the time for you to become a Christian and to get baptized. And before Shelley leaves, you have to do this. But she was not ready. She had only now heard the gospel for less than a year. And she didn't understand enough in her mind to become a Christian. And so she felt like she was a big disappointment to me. But of course, I know the power of prayer, so I didn't stop praying for Mikiko. Well, about 2 years later, got a call from Mikiko. She says, "You'll never believe this." You know, as Christians, we really can believe anything because God does miracles. She says, "My husband's job has transferred us to Tokyo. I'll be moving into your city." I said, "Okay, come on, Mikiko. Let's study English." English. And so Mikiko started coming to my ladies group at my home every Wednesday, which had become like a life group as part of my church. And she began to see that we kept a journal of our prayers and our answers to prayer. And she realized that there's something to this. And we serve a God who is alive. Well, February of last year, Mikiko came to us with a desperate prayer request and told us that it had been confirmed by 4 doctors that she had lung cancer, by then in her early 40s. And she just asked us to pray that all would end well. She wasn't expecting anything to happen. And she began to teach her family recipes to her junior high school daughter because she just wanted to pass them on to the family because she was preparing to die. And so we said, "Mikiko, we will pray." And we prayed and prayed and prayed for Mikiko. The day before her surgery, I found on the internet a picture of Jesus standing in the operating room and there with the doctors, you know? And so I printed that out and put it in a frame, took it to the hospital, and gave it to Mikiko. And I told her, "Jesus is going to be there in the hospital with you, in that operating room." And her answer to me was, "I have decided to trust in Jesus." Yes! There's miracle number one. Hallelujah! Praise God. That is the greatest miracle that we can ever see, is when a person gives their life to Jesus Christ. So I knew no matter what happens, Mikiko is going to be okay. She's giving her life to Jesus. But that wasn't the end of the story, because the next day was her surgery, and her daughter called me after the surgery and said, "Come to the hospital." So I got down there and heard with my own ears from Mikiko herself, in the National Cancer Center, those doctors could not find the cancer. Dr. Jesus had gotten there just a little bit earlier and taken it out. And Mikiko truly, truly believed in Jesus. May 25th of last year, it was an amazing day when Mikiko stood in front of the congregations and told them all that she has believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior and gave me the privilege to water baptize her. Which, for a Japanese Christian, if you ask a Japanese Christian, "When were you baptized? When did you become a Christian?" Their response will be, "Well, I was baptized on such and such a day." Because that is the day that, in a sense, they have to denounce all that they have been taught to believe in, but yet they know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the one true and living God. So Mikiko is now your sister in the Lord. I wish I could bring her over here and let her give all of you a hug for sending me there, and let you give her a big hug and welcome her to the kingdom of God. But you will someday. We will all meet someday. Hallelujah. We are in the family of God. Spending yourself, you know, that's a powerful thing to think of, because when we think of spending something, typically we're thinking about spending our finances. And you look in your wallet, and if you have a $5 bill, you have a $10 bill, you have a $20, let's say you have a $100 bill, you really try your hardest not to spend that $100 bill, because once it's broken, and it just keeps dwindling away pretty quickly. But isn't it amazing that God puts such value on us that he's saying, that's the thing that I want to have spent. You, your thoughts, your ideas, your time, you are valuable. You can do something for the kingdom of God. It's amazing to me to think that that is what God wants us to spend. Of course, it starts out with the word if you choose to do this. If, you know, it's our choice. We could just simply believe in Jesus as our Savior and just walk as a Christian our whole life and just kind of be a nominal Christian or a Sunday Christian. We could do that. And then someday we'll see Jesus. We could do that if we wanted to, but I don't know about you. That is not what I want to do, because my heart is burdened and passionate for the lost of this world. And I want every person in the city of Japan to hear the message that comes to us that you all know in English. Kami wa jitsu ni sono shitori go o atai ni natta hodo ni yo o ai sareta. Sore o shinjiru mono wa horoberu koto naku eien no inochi o eru koto ga dekiru. So now we're going to say it in English. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Talk about spending yourself. That is what Jesus did. That is what the Father did when he sent the Son. That is what the Son did when he died on the cross for us and rose again. He gave everything he possibly could. And I challenge you to look at your life. Am I spending myself for kingdom principles? Am I spending myself for those who are, spiritually speaking, poverty stricken and need the gospel? Are my words, am I spending my words and giving value to someone else's life so to lead them into the kingdom of God? Am I spending my time in prayer for those who need to hear the gospel message? And it tells us also, not only for those who are hungry, but to satisfy the needs of the oppressed. There are a lot of people in this world today that are oppressed. The enemy, as we know, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life abundantly. The enemy just wants to come in and suck all the life out of us. And then when that oppression eventually becomes depression, in Japan, it oftentimes leads to suicide. Japan has one of the highest rates of suicide in the whole world. And I have personally dealt with many people who have experienced not only suicidal thoughts, but family members and very close friends who have taken their lives. And you think, how sad, because the gospel message is so simple. And Jesus loves them so much. And every human has the right to hear that Jesus loves them. Sometimes, though, they cannot hear it with words, and they need to hear it when we spend ourselves for them. When we say, your time is more valuable than mine, and I will give up the things I think are important to me so that I can spend myself for you. In Japan now, there is an epidemic of young boys and men who are refusing to go to school or go to work. They've been bullied at school and have dropped out. You know, it's a very group-oriented society. And so if you cannot get along as part of the group, you are shunned. And many of these young boys, they are living in their rooms on the internet and refusing to come out. And we're experiencing an epidemic of young people that are oppressed. But do you know, recently there was a poll taken, and it was asked of people 30 and under, which was quite a different answer from 30 and over. They asked them, would you, if you had to choose something to believe in, would you believe in Christianity? And a majority of them said, yes, if I had to choose, I will believe in Christianity. We must be doing something right, Christians. We must be showing them the love of Jesus. And we're praying that God would just open up that wide and bring in those who are oppressed by this world and the culture there's a culture of oppression in the nation of Japan. You can feel it when you get off of the airplane, the darkness that is in that country. And so it's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus looked at his disciples, which we are, and he said, you are the light of the world. We are to go and reflect Jesus, who is the light of the world. And as we do that, things change in those nations. Things change for the life of a little boy. I want to share with you the story of a little boy named Len-kun that I met at least more than 15 years ago when I was working on the western side of the country of Japan, and I was the only American living in a town of 26,000 people. And starting a new church, other missionaries around the area had helped to get a building ready, and we had 23 chairs, and we were ready to fill them. Well, it usually takes about 10 or 15 years to get a church to where it has about 20 people in it in Japan. So we were living by faith with our 23 chairs. But I was there at the beginning. I was working alone. So Sunday morning, I would have the church service. We're supposed to have church on Sunday. I said, let's have church in this town on Sunday. Of course, there were no other church in that town whatsoever. And so Sunday morning came. I would turn on the sound system, which you really don't even need a sound system if all you have is a room that seats 23 people. And I would open up the windows because I wanted the town to hear. And I would get on the keyboard and begin to play and worship the Lord, have a complete worship service. I think I even gave the announcements. I took up the offering. Of course, later I was the one to count the offering. And I preached the gospel as if I was preaching at a Billy Graham crusade. And I knew that as I was saying the name of Jesus, the demons in that town were fleeing. And God was releasing that city and bringing the oppression was lifting. And week after week as I would do this, one week little children in the neighborhood peeked in the windows and said, we like the music. Can we come in? Yes, of course. And that's how Sunday school began. Eventually, every child in that area was come in all around the vicinity of the church building was coming to Sunday school. But one day I noticed a little boy who I had never seen before sitting outside on his bicycle crying. 6 years old and so down. And I talked to him and I said, you know, you really should go home. It's getting dark. He said, no, he said, my mom kicked me out of the house. I found out later, very oppressed situation in that house. I brought him into the church, and I fed him some dinner, and I let him play a little bit. And then finally, after he calmed down, I said, okay, let's take you home. I cannot imagine what that mother thought when she opened up the door, and here's this American bringing her son home, because she had the only American living in the town, you know, so she had no idea that her son would end up with this American. So she just, you know, get in the house, you know, and he got in the house. But I told him, I said, now, Len-kun, we are friends now. You can come to the church anytime you want, but especially on Sunday, because we have Sunday school. Well, that didn't sound very good to him because back then he went to school Monday through Saturday. He had no desire to go to school on Sunday. So I'm seeing his little eyes and they're like, oh, school again. And then I said to him, but you know, I'm going to make chocolate chip cookies. Now, Japanese people do not bake. And I told him there'd be homemade chocolate chip cookies, and the chocolate chips actually came in the mail from America. And he thought that sounded good. So that was my bait for Len-kun. He came back to Sunday school to get homemade chocolate chip American cookies. And then he kept on coming every week. Well, he's the kind of boy that was like always the worst boy. And so cute, about the cutest little kid I've ever met. With his jet black hair, they're just so beautiful. And I would have to pray a little bit more every week for Len-kun. But finally, it was Christmas time. And so we were able to give a copy of the Jesus video to all of the children. Len-kun took that home, a Jesus video for children. He took that home and watched it. He came back the next Sunday and told me the most amazing story. He said when he was like 3 years old in daycare, He was very, very bad. He kicked some other kids and bit kids, and he just was a very bad boy, and he knew he was bad there, and he got in trouble at school, he got in trouble at home. But that night, he had a dream. And in the dream, a man spoke to him and said, "Lankun, I saw everything that you did. Don't do it again, and I'll forget all about it." And then he tells me, "I never knew who the man in the dream was until I saw the Jesus video. It was the same man." So you sent this missionary from New York to a town where there were no other Americans, and I can tell you it was not the easiest of situations I've ever been in. But to be able to be the one that lets a little boy know, yes, Jesus is the only one who knows your name and sees everything. And he says to you, "Just don't do it again. I'll forget all about it." That's the gospel. And Len Kuhn kept on coming. Eventually, the Lord moved me, and other pastors were able to continue to connect with him. He continued to be a bad boy, so much so that last year his name was in the paper, and the pastor had to go pick him up from jail. But through that, he moved into to live with the pastor and truly got born again. And Easter Sunday of this year, that 22-year-old boy was water baptized and is truly now our brother in the Lord. Hallelujah. And all those years I kept praying for Lankun. It is so worth it to spend ourselves on behalf of those who are oppressed. This scripture says, satisfy the needs of the oppressed. You know, I don't know about you, I'm not a professional counselor, and most of us would not know how to satisfy the needs of the oppressed. But I have learned, when you pray for them, God does wonders. Miracles begin to happen. So if nothing else, please pray for those who are oppressed. The enemy is out to get them. And we have the answer. The answer is Jesus, remember? And I love how this scripture is. It's telling us that, okay, if you spend yourself for kingdom purposes, then your light will rise in the darkness. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. He will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. Even as Christians, we have times in our lives that feel very dark. We have our nighttime, emotionally, spiritually even. But when we spend ourselves for someone else, for kingdom purposes, that is when our lives are changed and turned around. It's kind of interesting because we know that if we're doing something for the hungry and the oppressed, their lives are going to be changed. But this scripture wraps it up by saying, your life is going to be changed. Hallelujah. That is what happens. And let me just read for you also the following verse 11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. That sounds good to me. Hallelujah. To God be all of the glory. Well, not too long ago, Japan, the city of Tokyo specifically, put in a bid to host the Summer Olympic Games in the year 2020. And I thought, no way is Tokyo going to get it. You know, we had the 9.0 earthquake 4 years ago that triggers this large tsunami. Over 3,000 or more people died. And, oh, more than that, I have to get the number in my head, but thousands and thousands of people died. Many more lost their homes, and then it triggered the nuclear disaster. And that reactor is only about 2.5 hours north of Tokyo. So with Tokyo also being so crowded, and just everywhere you look, people, people, people. I can never just look out and see the sky and landscape like this. I am just drinking in the sky and the grass while I'm here in America. I've been back since April, and Lord willing, if my support is raised, going back in the spring of next year for another term. My next term will be 5 years because of what I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. You can go ahead and put on the next slide while I'm sharing this. So it was the night before the final announcement was going to be made for the Olympics. And I'm convinced Tokyo's not going to get it. And as I laid my head on the pillow that night, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I heard, if Tokyo gets the Olympics, it's for kingdom purposes. And I thought, wow, God is up to something. So I woke up early that morning where they were going to be making the announcement and used my iPhone and took a shot of the TV that said Tokyo, 2020 Olympics. And I said, God is up to something. Hallelujah. So now the whole city of Tokyo is abuzz with construction, getting ready for the 2020 Olympics. And the Lord has been challenging me to do that in a spiritual sense. Be ready and get ready for what he is going to do. Be on the alert and start doing things. And the first thing he's challenged me to do is to raise up more prayer warriors. That's why I wanted to have you connect with me by text or phone or email or however you want to do it, so that we can really be prayer partners and believe that God is going to bring revival to a city and a country that has never once experienced a revival, a Christian spiritual revival. Never. And so we're believing it's coming. So I'm praying to raise up prayer warriors. And the Lord has challenged me to challenge people to give sacrificially. And I know it can be done because God has challenged me in ways that I never imagined even I could do. And he challenged me to every church he would send me to. Now, actually, this challenge, this 2020 challenge, came even before I came back to America and didn't even know which churches I would be speaking at. But the Lord knew. And he challenged me to challenge every church to give an offering of $2,020 to say we are on board with what God is doing for 2020. We have a 2020 vision that God is up to something in the nation of Japan, specifically the city of Tokyo, because as Tokyo goes, so goes the rest of the nation. And we are believing, of course, for great revival, but we're starting now. I believe that with this last weekend of the Franklin Graham Celebration of Love, that things have started. Now, there were 400 churches that cooperated in the city of Tokyo for that event, which is probably most of the churches in the city of Tokyo, and thousands of people attended the event, and it was live streamed, and so many more thousands, I hope millions of people in Japan heard the messages that Franklin Graham preached and heard the gospel message for themselves. And so things are starting, they are brewing, and more things are going to happen. And so the Lord has challenged me to not only ask you to pray here, but to take teams to Japan to pray on the ground. Because it's a nation that you feel like the enemy has just drawn a line around and say, this is my playground, this is mine. And you feel like there's just a brass ceiling, and that our prayers are like spiritual warfare, can break through those strongholds and just open up the windows of heaven, open up like holes in that brass ceiling for the Holy Spirit to rain down. And so I have been praying that the Lord would raise up 20 pastors and leaders that would take teams to Japan beginning next year, all the way up until 2020, every year bringing over teams. I hope we'll get to 20 teams, really just laying the groundwork for the spiritual atmosphere that is going to be changing in the nation of Japan. And so I want to ask you also to pray about that. I already have some churches in the Syracuse and Rochester area and other places that are committed and saying, yes, we are going to be part of that. I have a church of all seniors, and they're going to plan a team, and they're absolutely coming, they tell me. And it's wonderful to see. I'm going to pray the Lord brings me young people and every age possible. You know, sometimes you hear of mission teams where they're doing construction work and you say, I can't do that kind of work. Or they're doing healthcare and you're saying, I'm not a nurse or a doctor, I can't do that. But everyone can pray. Everyone can walk around those Olympic venues and pray and tear down strongholds. Everyone can go and walk around the Imperial Gardens of Japan and pray for those strongholds to be broken. There isn't anyone who can't. And even if you feel like, I can't walk around all there, fine. If you can just get on a plane, you can stay in my house and pray. We're going to get you there to the city of Tokyo if that is the Lord's plan. And if he is not planning for you to go, you can be here and pray for the teams that are going. So I want to keep you informed about all that is happening. But I do lay before you this challenge as a church to spend yourselves with a special offering of $2,020. And probably for a church this size, you may be thinking, I don't know, you could be thinking we can do that right away, or you also could be thinking like a church I went to that had 20 people. They said, well, we can't do it today. But the pastor asked every one of those 20 people in the church, he said, save your money for the next 4 weeks, $25 a week. And at the end of that month, they had an offering of $2,020, a church of 20 people. Another church said, we can't do it today, so we're going to have a barn sale. And we are going to sell everything that we don't want, and all the money will go to this 2020 project. And they sent me a check within 3 weeks. Other churches are saying, before you go back to Japan, Shelley, we're going to have it for you. Basically, that is what's going to get me back to Japan. So as the offerings and support comes in, I will be back on that plane to Japan. If it all comes in tomorrow, sayonara, I'll be there. To God be all of the glory. I just truly believe that God, it's a time when he is asking us as Christians to step out and spend ourselves for the right things. Amen. And remember your value. You are so valuable to the kingdom of God. There are talents and gifts and skills he has placed in you that he has not placed in the next person or in me. So let us spend ourselves for kingdom purposes and ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom how each one of us is to spend ourselves for the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to take a moment and close in praying for this nation of Japan and the city of Tokyo. And please just join in your hearts together and pray with me that God will bring revival. And then when you go home and tomorrow you're thinking, oh, what shall I do for Japan? Pray for Japan. On the 20th of every month, could you just take 20 seconds and pray for the nation of Japan and believe that God is up to something as we get ready for this 2020 Olympics? We're going to be ready in a spiritual sense. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord. I just want to thank you for bringing me to this church. Lord, this is ordained of you that you brought me here today. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would truly speak to each person and let them know their value that you have placed in them, that every single person was created for your glory. And I thank you for all of the thoughts and ideas and talents you have given them. And I pray that they can use them for the kingdom of God. And to give them wisdom to know how and when. And I pray, Lord, for all of our finances as well, that we can spend them in a way that will be pleasing to you, not for our happiness, but for our holiness, that we would be people who please you, the living God, a holy and righteous God. And I pray, Father, for this church, that they can accept this challenge as from you, that they too can be part of this 2020 vision in whatever way you are calling them to do that. And I ask, Lord, that your blessing would continue to rest upon them as they're preparing their own new sanctuary, and that revival will come in this area, and they will see things that they never even expected to see, because you so desire for the people in this area also to know the one true and living God and to walk with him, and for this church to be a church that is so filled with love that people even from the outside will say, I want to be there because they have something that I don't have. Thank you, Almighty God, for doing more than we can even think to ask you for. And thank you for the privilege of coming before your throne room with confidence and boldly. And thank you that in our time of need, you provide us with your grace and mercy. That is what we ask for, Lord. Thank you for your grace upon our life, your mercy upon our life and upon this church. We thank you, Lord, for every person in this room, because I know that they represent friends and family members that are not yet in the kingdom of God. So I pray, Lord, that you make us people of prayer, and that we will remember daily to pray for those who do not know you yet. And the day will come when they will call upon the name of Jesus, just like Mikiko and just like Lankun. Thank you, Almighty God, for giving me the privilege to serve you, the risen sun in the land of the rising sun. And thank you for this church that has made it possible. I ask your special, amazing blessing upon them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.